Now you come to the Vedic verses themselves. Now Vedic verses have to be seen in three lights. The first light is that the Vedas contain knowledge, of which he spoke very briefly just now. The knowledge of all the faculties of man, the knowledge of faculties which are subdued but not developed, but which can be developed, knowledge of the gods, knowledge of the secrets by which man can be related to gods, knowledge by which gods can be transcended to supreme divine, discovery there is only one God, not many gods, but one God of whom the gods are so many manifestations. Discover also the knowledge regarding perfectibility of man, of immortality. How much experimentation must have gone to arrive at propositions of this kind? And the remarkable thing is that Vedic verses speak of this knowledge with definiteness. To arrive at a knowledge is one thing, but to arrive at a definite knowledge, it requires how many years? In our own life, at a certain stage, when we want to arrive at definiteness, requires 50, 60, 70 years to be very definite about things. That's why we go to our grandmothers when we are in question mark, because their experience of 70 years would give us some definiteness. Now, definiteness with regard to the knowledge of all these elements which I have now described. So that is first aspect is the content of the knowledge. The second is that most of this Vedic knowledge is in a poetic form. To develop prose and to develop poetry is much more difficult task from a literary point of view. And this poetry has got meters. It's not ordinary verses just as our budding poets write poems, some sentences here, taken there, and it becomes poetry. But they are all very careful about meters. And there are theories of meters. And various kinds of meters. Now development of meters and compositions of poetry in so many meters, count only that. Then you count the level of this poetry, which has come to be called mantric poetry. And what is mantric poetry? Sri Aurobindo says three qualities must be satisfied if poetry has to be mantric. There must be intensity, highest intensity of truth vision. There must be the highest intensity of rhythm. And there must be highest intensity of style, so that what is expressed corresponds to the substance of what is to be expressed. The method of expression must correspond to the substance of the expression. When you combine these three together, you get a mantric poetry. And to write one sentence, you must intensify all the three. Now, hundreds and thousands of mantras written in this metric, in this mantric form. Imagine how much time must have been taken to arrive at that point. So I do not argue one way or the other. I simply say count all this. You know, Buddha was born 600, he was around 600 BC. Now you count backwards and see how much time must have been taken to produce Vedic poetry. This is the second aspect of Veda. First of all is the truth vision. Second is the meters and all that. The third aspect is the quantity. Such a huge literature. And this is what is available is only a kind of an anthology. So imagine how much it must have been. If today we start writing, and with a goal to write like Vedic poetry, imagine how many centuries will be taken to arrive at that kind of poetry. This is the kind of development that will be required if you want to reconstruct Indian history. If you read the Vedas, as many Western scholars have read, as cries of primitive barbarians, then it is easy to say, well, this is only a cry of people who are afraid of animals and afraid of earthquakes and of rains and storms and lightnings, and then began to cry about, and they felt that something by crying results will come out. But if you read the Veda, you find at the very first mantra this theory can be exploded. That which says very clearly, Agni Mide Purohitam, which is definiteness, there is no fright in it. There is no question of any kind of a barbaric speaking out a cry. Even the first hymn is a negation of this whole concoction that they are barbaric people. Can barbarians produce this kind of poetry, the supreme poetry, the mantric poetry containing so much of truth vision, so much of metrical system and perfection of matters? Is it possible? Now, therefore there must be a period preceding the Veda. To arrive at the Vedic poetry, there must have been a period preceding the Veda. As Sri Aurobindo says, Veda was a climax and a point of decline. It was a climax and a point of decline from which afterwards we have been going down, down, down. And now, having finished the cycle today, we stand at a point where a great synthesis is now being demanded of us. And therefore we are now required to go back to all this so that we can really make a great synthesis and perhaps achieve even greater heights than what the Vedic Rishis had achieved. So it is in that context that you can now reformulate the history of India. So one can only say without controversy, this is not a subject of controversy now, but if one wants to know, I would simply say it is a very ancient literature. And the history of India is hardly known at all and requires so much of research. In fact, may take 200-300 years to make a real research into this and arrive at conclusions. But it is worth doing it. So question is important, only we are not entering into it now. Only I gave some glimpses that these are the facts which have to be taken into account before you can reconstruct the real history of India and connect Veda with the Gita and Gita with the present time. I think we can stop here now, because then we shall come next to the synthesis of the Upanishads.